Good morning. I trust that you have moved your clocks. Ours is not yet moved, and so it's time to shut her down. The message this morning, well, I have lots to say, because this is, in fact, a little bit of a passion of mine. Simply, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm called into this kind of work, to be pastor of a church. Because I love the church. It is the place where, the way that I see it, God has called us to serve right now. It is not the place where everybody serves, but it is mine. And so it's a little bit of a passion, but I will try not to tell you everything that I have to say about this morning. You would be here a very long time. Christ Jesus has chosen to build his kingdom through the church, which is made up of those who have trusted in him as their Lord and Savior. It is not possible to think that one could be a Christian and not be part of the church. It does not work. If you are a Christian, you are a part of a church, whether you recognize it or don't. I'm hoping that this morning after I'm done, you will recognize it, and you will also encourage one another. When we come together on Sunday mornings, we say things like we're going to go to church, and so we think of a building. But we know that it's bigger than that. We know that the church is all believers, but it is also the place where we go, and it is also the people who are gathered here, this local group of believers. So how many people does it take to make a church? Well, it could be many, or it could be a few. There is no exact number. Matthew 18:20 says this, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." And yet the church is also compared to a building that is built with stones, or a body with all of its parts. And so there is no number that I can place to know how many it takes to make a body or a church. But I do know this, that Christians are not meant to live in isolation. I want to start this morning where I left off last Sunday. I'm going to read some scripture this morning. I'm going to read a fair bit, because I believe in that. I believe that outside of scripture, I have nothing to say to you. So I'm going to start in John chapter 15, and we're going to read the passage that I read last Sunday. I will read it again. Repetitiveness is good for me, and I'm thinking it's good for you. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing that you are my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, But I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus is the vine. Talked about that last Sunday. And you are the branches. And so who is the you? It is us individually, and it is us as a church. If it applies to the church, then it still comes back and applies to you individually, because the church is made up of individuals. And so we're going to begin with individual people. But as we think about that, we also want to keep the church in mind and see what it would mean there. And so we want to talk about La Creek Christian Fellowship this morning and ourselves. Why does the vine have branches? Because that's where the fruit is produced. The vine doesn't produce fruit on the trunk or the stem. Darren Platt, in his series in Colossians, said to us that Christ is the head of the church, and so Christ has chosen to put it together this way. This isn't ours to pick. Christ has said that the church is the body of Christ. And so he is not all. He is the head. He gives direction to the body. And so the same thing here. Christ is the vine. In this passage, you have this verse, or these words, bear fruit, repeated again and again. So what is your purpose? You are a Christian. You're part of the larger body of Christ. And so what is your purpose? Your purpose is to produce fruit. So is that your primary focus? It can't be. Watch somebody. As they try to produce fruit, if they try to produce fruit in and of themselves, they will fail. But it's what our call is. And so then when we look at our lives and we say that I'm not producing fruit, we try to produce fruit. It's not our goal. Our goal is to stay connected to the vine, because outside of the vine, you cannot bear fruit. And so it sounds backwards, but our goal is to stay connected to the vine. And Jesus says, as much as you stay connected to the vine, that's how you are going to produce fruit. And so what is your goal? What is your purpose? To stay connected to the vine. But sometimes we switch over and we try to do the other, and we end up losing this connection that is with the vine. If there is no life in the branch cannot do anything. So our first priority as individuals and as individual churches is to stay connected to the vine. If we do that, then we will be well on our way of doing what we have been created to do. The vine generally has many branches. And it's said here in this passage as well, branches, not just branch. You are the vine, I am the vine, you are the branch. It has many branches. But the branch itself does not concern itself with all of the other branches. As I have thought about this, and as I shared with Linda a little bit, some of these things may be a little bit controversial, and so bear with me and please don't crucify me before I'm done. Mind your own business. Not words that we'd like to hear. But if the branches don't concern themselves with the other branches, and yet the branches provide protection for the other branches, but they don't even know it, because Darren said that's just what Christians do. That's just what the church does. And sometimes we just got to let ourselves just do what we're made to do instead of focusing on doing the things and just stay connected to the vine. And so it reminds me of a parable that Jesus told us, and we read about it in Matthew 7, 3, verse 5, 3 to 5. It says this: why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck of out of your eye, when at that time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. I have many planks in my eyes, and so I apologize for that. As we go about our life as Christians, we continually try to do that. Take a plank out while seeking to help one another in the church. Jesus goes on in that John in the passage in John and talks about loving one another. And so when our kids were attending the Christian Academy, we had there what we would call the Joy Award. Jesus, others, yourself, and in that order. To have our life be reflected of that. And so these awards would be given out to kids who exemplified that, who exemplified a life that was first off primarily focused on having a relationship with Jesus, seeking to help others, and then lastly, also looking after their own needs. And so we got to get the order of things right. In Colossians 3:12-14, we read this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Without love, it will be very, very hard for you to show compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, or forgiveness. The world does it. The world does it. I show compassion to those that show compassion to me. We're called to a higher standard. I'm called to show kindness, and the world shows kindness to those that show kindness to them, gentleness with those that are gentle with them, patience with those that are patient, and forgiveness for those that are forgiving. But we're called to a higher standard. We're called to do that in the context of people. When somebody is not compassionate with me, I'm yet called to do that. And what enables me to do that? Love. The love of Christ. And so Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us go do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Where's your first priority in life? We often say our job is to share the gospel with the world. And it is part of our job, but it's not our priority. Another one of those controversial statements. And when I run across this, I say, yeah, but what about? And these other passages, these other things that Scripture talks about are also there, and we need to take them into consideration. How can I share the gospel with the world around me if I'm not connected to the vine? How can I share the gospel with the world around me? I want to share the good news of the message of that Christ came to forgive our sins, that there is reconciliation with God, and yet I can't get along in the church. So the church is an extension of Jesus Christ. And it is through the church that God wants to do that. And so where's my focus? Out there or in the church? Galatians 6:10 does not say that we shouldn't see outside, but it says especially to those that belong to the family of believers. I want to turn your attention to one of the most favorite passages of all time. Well, maybe not of all time. We love this passage, or we don't love. We have a love-hate relationship with this one. It's Ephesians chapter 5. So here, this is a passage of scripture where the husbands listen with what the wives are supposed to do, and the wives listen with what the husbands are supposed to do. And so therefore, we're pointing the finger at each other, not so much at ourselves. And then Jesus says one thing here, and he says, but I am talking about Christ and the church. And so this passage isn't primarily about husbands and wives. It is about Christ and the church, and comparing marriage to the relationship that husbands and wives should have with each other. So let me read that. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Do we see our marriages the way that Christ loves the church and how he cares for it? What do you look after first? Your own body. You look after your own body so that you can be healthy, so that you can look after others. And then it draws the attention to us being part of one body and taking care of each other. We take care of our bodies in some very, very simple ways. I get up in the morning, go to the sink, wash the sleep out of my eyes so that I can see. You're taking care of your body. You head to the shower, you have a shower. You brush your teeth. You go down, have some breakfast. You drink water. All of these things are ways in which you take care of your body. Then you go and put on some clothes to make yourself presentable, and out you go. And you take care of your body this way. But what about switching that into our spiritual life? And drawing it back to some of the basics that we can do in the church. Some people need a little extra care in some places, and they do that. So I will give you an example from my life and from Linda's life. This is one of the odd times that I've actually asked Linda for permission. So I have soft hands. My hands are always soft. I've never been able to have them dry. They have never cracked on me. I do a lot of dishes. I wash dishes at home. I enjoy that. But it doesn't matter how much I wash dishes. I don't never have to wear gloves. My hands never crack. They don't dry out. It's a blessing. Linda, on the other hand, no pun intended, has very dry hands. And so when she washes dishes, her hands crack. And so she still has to wash her hands. And so then her hands dry out. So what does she do? She uses lotion. And I know that a lot of you use lotions, as does she. She's never very far from it. Why? Because her body needs to be cared for, and she recognizes her hands. There's also another example. When she was younger, she was in the hospital and a drug was administered to her and she had a very bad reaction to it. Good thing she was in the hospital. And so we now recognize her as being allergic to this drug. We always keep it in mind. I keep it in mind and so does she. When we go to the hospital, we make sure that we communicate that if any drugs are administered, not this one, because it could be a matter of life and death for her. So why do we do it? Well, Linda does it because she actually loves herself. She doesn't want to die. And I do it because I also love her and I don't want her to die. And so we keep this in mind. None of this. I can't do this. I don't understand drugs. Anyway, others of you don't have that. And so you don't need to concern yourself with that. I don't have any allergies whatsoever. And so whatever drug you want to give me in the hospital, you go right ahead and give it to me. If that's going to help me, I'm not going to have an allergic reaction to it. Or at least they haven't found one yet. So I say this because of some pretty basic things that we can do in the church. One of them is, I see a sign right through the middle doors about scents. Some of these things that happen are choices. Some of them aren't choices. Some people have difficulty breathing. And so we're taught to dress up and go to church on Sunday morning. We put on a little extra perfume and stuff like that. And some of our people stay at home because they can't be in this congregation because somebody has put on scent and they can't breathe. And so they sit at home and they can't be a part of what goes on over here. My brother hasn't gone to church. I think about 8 years. So it's a little personal for me. Do we think of the little things that we can do? Some people have a peanut allergy, and as much as smelling a peanut could put them in a bad situation health-wise and they could die. It blows my mind to think that way. So then when that person is coming over, I'm saying, how bad is it? We have peanuts in our house. We have peanut butter in our house. Do we look after each other in this way? Can we? What are the little things that we can do? And it means that we change the way that we think. And what it means to take care of the body of Christ. What it means to here at home first. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So you are given gifts. These are some of the basics, and then you're also given other gifts to serve in the church. Also out of the church, but it's all part. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is, for me, is a favorite. It's always, when I come into this conversation, I always got to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 7, it says, now each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And so it's meant to build each other up, never meant to tear each other down. You're not given a gift so that you can tear somebody else down in the church. It's not there. It doesn't exist. The gifts are given to build each other up, never for the purpose of tearing one another down. Now, sometimes we say some tough things. I've had to have some tough things said to me, and it's bothered me. In the sake of time, I'm not going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But at the end of that, Paul goes on into the love chapter. He says it's the most excellent way. And at the end of that chapter, verse 13, I think, these three may remain: hope, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. When we lose our love for one another, it is very hard to be continue to be mindful of one another. And so then the question is, am I connected to the vine? I'll just work harder at loving that other person. Well, you know what? Love is a product of being connected to the vine. And so if I focus on loving that other person, am I missing connecting to the vine? James 4:17 says this: if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So innocence is bliss. If, as long as you don't know, then you're fine. So yesterday, watching my daughter play volleyball in Grand Prairie, a gentleman walked in and it just smelled like he had hit it. He hadn't taken a shower. Or maybe he had taken a shower, but what was coming out of the shower head was cologne rather than anything else. And I thought, ooh, wow, that's strong. I thought of my brother and I thought of some other people, and I thought, these people would pretty much die. I didn't. It's not one of my problems. But I thought, how was he supposed to know? So innocence is bliss, and yet innocence isn't bliss. We're called to grow, called to learn, called to find out, get to know one another, and how are we affecting each other? Am I a stumbling block to you or not? Romans 14:13 says, now let's stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or an obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Stop it. And then Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love on, sorry. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and even all the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes it's the easiest way. Is just to stop getting together. But we're not called to stop getting together. Continue to get together, but do the things that help us so that we can build each other up as we continue to get together. But it's going to mean you're going to have to make some sacrifices in your life. But if you think of somebody else and the other person is thinking about you, you don't actually have to look after your own needs. You're just looking after the needs of the other. God has put us together that way. So I wrote this down. Mind your own business. Stay connected to Jesus. That's what I mean. Stay connected to Jesus. Don't get yourself all wound up how the other person isn't connected to Christ, but concern yourself with how you are. And then you can only effectively mind the business of somebody else if you love the other as Christ loved the church. When my love for other people dies, I just don't care how I'm offensive to them. It is not just for us here at La Creek Christian Fellowship. This is also exercised in the universal church with all other believers and also in our personal lives. It starts at home. Living the life of the Christian starts at home. So again, this verse in Galatians 6:10, where we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. At La Crete Christian Fellowship, and then La Crete, and then the world around. It will work itself out into the rest of our community and to the world if we are truly connected to the vine, that is Jesus Christ. So practically, one We want to help each other and do good to the family of believers, and we want to begin here at La Creek Christian Fellowship Church. And so one of the ways that we can do that is to help our people know one another. So our secretaries have organized the taking of pictures of those who consider La Creek Christian Fellowship their home church. This doesn't mean that you are a member here. It just means that you attend regularly or you consider this to be your home church. We want to take your picture and we want to put your name beside it so that we can recognize you and we can recognize your name. As our church continues to grow, it becomes harder and harder to remember names and faces. So we help one another and we know who's in our body so that we can actually take care of them. And we want to do it very simply because in Corinthians there's a word in there, it says equal concern for everybody. You're all important. Everybody is. We have a few couples who have given themselves to serve as deacons in the church. This morning we want to honor them as part of our body. We want to recognize them, the seriousness of their position, and pray with them that they may lead as they are led by the Holy Spirit. With that, I'll call Peter Rempel up to lead us in that portion of our service.